This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
At the end of the day, like, the fact that you failed a class actually means nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, It doesn't say anything about who you are as a person or about your intelligence or anything like that. It's just we all have different points at which we struggle.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome back to Take Note. We are the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. My name is Shannon. I'm an honours student. I'm studying media and I am your host. It's the end of the year, which means we are all embarking on exams, handing up final assignments and preparing to receive our results. So what happens if things don't go as you hoped and you fail? And joining me back again is our lovely gal, Livia.
Hey guys, as expected, I'm back again and I hope you're all ready for me to actually expose myself on this episode. I'm kind of nervous, so...
Yes, we're going to be talking all about Liv's experience with failing a class.
If for some reason I have a future employer and they find this, I'm a really good person, I promise.
But before we get into that, let's do a little check-in. Let's have a little chat first. How are you this week, Olivia?
I'm good this week. We're actually recording this on uni break, which I know it seems a bit early, but it's going to be relevant by the time it comes out. So I'm feeling pretty relaxed. I just got my hair done last night, so I'm feeling nice and blonde and fresh. I haven't had a full head in ages, so if you know, you know, nothing hits like a full head does. And I don't know. I've got the next 2 days off work, which I'm so excited about. So
what are the plans?
Just not much. I'm just going to do some study.
Stunning. I love it.
I'm going
no
out
plans.
To dinner on Friday night, and that's the extent. Actually, I have 3 21-firsts on Saturday night, so that's actually what I'm doing.
Hectic as.
I'm going 4 till 7:30 at 1, and then 7:30 till 8:30 at the second, and then 8:45 until.
RIP the second one.
Look, like, I can't be at all of them at the same time. So.
No, that's like a lot of money on gifts too, especially 21st. Oh my God.
$50 for each person.
Yeah, which is
a
like
group present.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
By the time this episode comes out, all my stresses for that weekend will be done. Anyway, Shannon, how are you?
I'm all right. I do have a bit of a story to share. I've had a bit of a disappointing week, but it sort of has been a bit of a lead up to this point. But I thought I'd share it with you guys because I think it's a story that's worth telling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I may have mentioned on an episode earlier in the year that I'd been working towards putting together a scholarship application to allow me to do some international study.
Yeah, I think I loved that episode.
Yeah, and it's always just going to be a really big gamble about whether or not you'd get it because this particular one, it was for quite a bit of money and there's multiple rounds of like interviews and things like that. I think one of them, you have to do like a presentation. Like it's quite intense. The application itself is like 3,000 words equivalent.
Which is sorry, beep that out.
I've sort of been working on that. I took a big chunk of the year to work on that back in like May and June. So I basically put my application in. They had their own like application portal so that you can sort of see all the different segments. So one was like just your general information. One was about your academics. One was about your achievements, basically all these different elements. And one of them was for your references. So they require you to have 3 references. Mm. They're very much like, you need to go and take care of that, make sure that they put it in by the deadline, all that kind of stuff. So it's about 2 months you've got to put it all together.
Yeah.
And I pretty early on knew who I wanted to be my references, contacted them. They were all really happy to do it. And they were like, yep, great, happy to do it. And sent me some copies and they were really, really lovely references. And they said, yep, I've submitted it. And I was like, great. And then when I was looking at the portal, I couldn't see any actually saying that they'd been received. So I wasn't sure if maybe like it would take a couple of days for them to show up.
For it to load in and like general application stuff.
Yes, exactly. So I thought maybe it would take a couple of days or a couple of weeks to show up. I'm not really sure. And I sort of hadn't, it was like a few days later and it still wasn't there. So I thought, oh, I'll just like email them and make sure that they've got it since they've said that, like, since my references have said they submitted it. And I was like, can you just confirm that you've got them and everything, yeah. so I don't have to worry about it. And they were like, yep, we've got it from this person and this person. And I was like, great, those are the ones that I have submitted. Cool, I don't really need to worry about that now. They've said they have them. My third reference went in and that one actually did show up as submitted. And then I submitted my whole application and that all went through okay. And I was like, great, cool, done. And I did it like, you know, 4 or 5 days before the deadline. Like I was pretty organized.
Yeah.
And my references were all done, I think, before, like with many weeks to spare too. And I was like, fabulous. So I sent it all off. We're supposed to hear back from them like mid to late August is what they'd said. And so I was sort of just waiting and waiting and waiting, be like, I don't know. I don't know when they're going to send anything. Yeah. And then it was like the 20th of August and I got like a newsletter from the people that run the scholarship talking about how they've got people, you know, preparing for their first round interviews. And I was like, ooh, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't even heard a no. Like I've just got radio silence.
Yeah, exactly. And so I sent them an email. I was like, hey, just want to like check. Has everyone been notified? Was I supposed to know if I wasn't successful? And they responded pretty quickly and were like, yep, so everyone's been notified. Just had a look at your application and it wasn't submitted because you had references missing. And I was just like.
Like, okay, I already emailed you.
Yeah, literally stomach drop. I was like, are you joking? Because I think like literally 2 days before I'd made a joke to a friend about how I hadn't heard anything. I was like, I bet it's my bloody references.
You jinxed it. I'm not going to lie to you, Shannon.
And yeah, that wasn't great. And I was like, okay, well, here's all the correspondence. I've got like the person saying those two references received. I've got the, you know, message saying that the third reference was received. I've got the message saying that my application was submitted.
Yeah.
It's like, is there any way that my application could be like reconsidered? And at this point it was like the following week they were going to start first round interviews.
The day that they were coming to Adelaide was like pretty soon.
Yeah. The day they were coming to Adelaide was probably like 2-3 weeks later. But yeah, they'd basically finished their first round of like
offers and
of like assessment and stuff like that. The panel people that have come in to look at it and everything. And I was like, oh God, maybe they'll be nice and sort of see. Yeah. Cause I was kind of a bit like, it's not my fault. Like
and also like it might've ended up working out better for you because they'll be like, oh, like, sorry, beep that as well. They'll be like, oh, the panel's gone home. Like, we'll just assess it ourselves and just put her through for an interview because we're not sure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just hoping that. Or even like, you know, if they need to take a bit of time, that maybe they could give me like a virtual interview, which I know they were doing at the very end of all of them. But yeah, I didn't really hear anything. And I was like, so I've just kind of like every other week, I was sort of just like sending an email being like, hey, any updates kind of thing. And they were like, oh, look, we're investigating the tech stuff. And honestly, a bit of me was like, that's not my issue.
Yeah.
But anyway, and eventually I found out, so I've been pestering them for a couple of weeks and then they sent me the message yesterday basically saying like, look, I'm so sorry, but like it just looks like they weren't submitted properly. And when you notified us, it was just like unfortunately too late for us to really be able to assess it properly and everything. And there was apparently an issue with the staff who actually told me that they had them, who didn't realise that they can actually see the references sitting in there before they're submitted. So they probably were saying, yeah, I can see it. We've got them, but...
You were saying they, from there and they think they're done, but they were saying, oh, we can see that they've like received the email.
Well, I think that staff member just thought that meant that they were submitted. So yeah, so they were basically like, yeah, we'll have to rectify that. And I think they felt pretty bad. I think they did from their response. And like, she gave me so much information.
Yeah, I read the email yesterday and like... It is nice, but it's just like the worst feeling.
Yeah, but like cautionary tale, guys, like if you think something is wrong, something like that, never be afraid to follow it up or send that follow-up email either. Because if I hadn't asked in the first place when like about the references being missing, I wouldn't have even had a leg to stand on at this point. If I'd emailed them like a week or two earlier about if for some reason I'd known that it wasn't gone through properly.
Yeah, but how are you to know?
Like, this is it. There's nothing I could have done differently, right? Like I did everything I could have done. I did everything right, you know, other than I probably should have double checked in with my references. So guys, double check things when it's important stuff. It's not the end of the world. Like this was, like I said, this was always like, was never ever a guarantee that I was even going to get any like past that point anyway. The bonus is I can use the same information next year when I reapply for it.
Free pass in. Don't have to spend all of May and June writing again. You can just go straight in.
But yeah, I really encourage you guys all to please follow up stuff when it doesn't feel right. So yeah, like the fact that I followed up about the references in the first place, noticing that they were missing was the right thing to do. Yeah. But also the fact that I hadn't heard anything. If I hadn't emailed at that point, I would never have known that that was an issue.
Yeah.
So it's always worth. And like I said, if I'd done it a couple of weeks earlier, who knows, they may have decided they were going to have a look at it given the circumstances. But yeah, just when it's a big opportunity or even like a job or anything, just follow it up. No one's ever going to look badly at you if you are just sort of checking in, like, you know, if essentially you're just showing that you're passionate about
even
what
just
it
sending
is.
An email that's like when you submit it, just being like, hey, just submitted my application, like so excited for the opportunity to like even have like to be able to submit, like just checking that like everything's been received correctly.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
I didn't even think about that until just then.
Yeah, well, I will know for next year now. Yeah. We learn our lessons.
Hey, guys, I did try last year. Like, can you just check that it's all gone through this time?
Yeah, well, maybe they'll see my name next year and feel bad.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, my God, that poor girl. Like, fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. But these things happen. But, yeah, and we will try again.
Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway.
I have faith.
Well, talking of trying again, maybe we'll have a little chat now about what happened. So, Olivia, we know that you did actually, you failed a class in first year. So we're going to have a little chat about how you came back from it.
This
and
is not a try again.
Happened.
This is a try again and again.
So could you just tell us a little bit about like your study journey up until that point?
Yeah. So obviously failed the class. If you know business finance, this class, that's the one that I failed. So I started off my uni degree. I did a head start when I was in year 12. I think I spoke about this in another episode.
She's smart, guys.
Yeah. Like that's what I thought before I failed. So it's this scholarship where you can do two uni subjects and count it towards your year 12. So it doesn't count towards your GPA for your program, for like your bachelor's degree or whatever, but you can count it towards your year 12. Got distinctions in both of them. I was like, slay, this is definitely the degree for me. One of those classes was in the Bachelor of Commerce, which is my degree. So I was like, perfect, my first semester, I'll just do three classes. Ease into uni. I smashed my three classes. I was like, oh my God, uni is going to be so easy.
We've said before, the three classes is the sweet spot.
Yes.
If you can hack it. Sorry, if you can swindle it.
Yeah. No, it was so good. So smashed my first semester and I just got a new hospitality job. And they were like, 40 hours a week, all yours. I was like, oh. Say less. I'm going to be so rich and uni is so easy. So I'll just go straight into that one and have so much money and do so well at uni. Like I love going to uni. I can, all my free hours, I can work and I'll still do well.
Yeah.
So basically I'm setting up my timetable for semester two. I had done it differently earlier. It was all spaced out over the whole week and I swapped all of my classes to be from 10 till 4 on a Friday. Keep in mind the other 6 days of the week I was working, maybe a day off here or there, but I was also in my little party animal era.
Look, when you're 18.
Yeah. So every free day that I wasn't working, like didn't have an early shift at my job, I was going out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to uni once a week and I had a, like the class that I failed was my first one for the day, 10 to 11. And mm-hmm. I had all these friends in the class. I was like, oh, this is my fun class. I've got all my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like, yep to them for the hour, no participation taken. I'm like, oh, my class was fun. On to the next one. Went to the next class, no problems. And then I had a 2 hour class after that. And it was like a group assignment class. And then I had an hour break and then I had a class from 3 till 4. And this group of people in my 2 hour block was like, let's just go to the uni bar, like get a drink. I'm like, yeah.
Like, why would I say no?
First year uni, let's go get a drink. And then the amount of times I would skip that last class was actually ridiculous. At no point in the semester when I would submit an assignment a little bit late or skip a little assignment, be like, oh, I'm actually going to do bad at uni. I was like, I'm making so much money. I was like, I'll pass all my classes. Like never in my life have I failed anything.
Yeah.
So then exams rolled around and I have 4 exams for all 4 of my classes.
Yep.
So first semester I only had 2 because 2 of my class, like I only had 3 and one of them didn't have an exam.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think I only had 1 exam in the first semester, maybe. Anyway,
nice.
4 exams in my second semester. So I'm like, right. Don't need to study. One day to study for each exam. They were spaced out, so I would take the day before off work and I would study for one day maybe. But if I was tired, if I'd been out the night before, might have only been a half day, a couple of hours. Wake up, go to the exam. This one exam for Principles of Economics, I was convinced that I had like done so badly. I was like, there is no way I've passed that course. I did so badly throughout the semester. That was the class that I kept skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Some miracle, flat 50.
You pulled it off.
I was like, perfect. I was like, it's okay if I get like a couple of passes this semester. Like, clearly I'm working too much and I need to work a little bit less next year. But as long as I get through with some passes, like all will be
well.
You'll
get your degree. Yeah.
And then this other class, another flat 50. And then another one, I got like a 60. So I was like, okay, perfect. And then business finance. I didn't actually feel horrible about the exam because I was like kind of good at maths at school. Like I'd done stage two methods. I was like, probably can swing it somehow. Anyway, no, I didn't. I got 47.
Yeah, okay.
So I qualified for my SUP exam. I was like, perfect, Olivia, take the week off work. So I took 5 days off work, which for me at the time, working my 40 hours, I was like, I'm going to be broke this paycheck.
Yeah, and like during that, when you first saw that like 47, what was like going through your mind?
To be honest, I think I'd kind of mentally prepared that it might have been
Yeah, okay.
Like I thought it might have been for economics instead of business finance. And economics, I knew that if I failed that, I was actually done for because I had no concept of any of that knowledge, like how I passed that course. Thank you to whoever marked my exam. I always write in the front cover of my exams, thank you so much for marking my exam.
Oh my God,
hope you're having
tip.
A good day. And I put a little smiley face.
So cute.
So for some reason, I passed more classes because of that. Anyway, so I think I was ready to fail something. So I saw the 46 and I was like, that's a class that I was low-key feeling good about. So maybe like supplementary exam, take 5 days off work, study for it.
Mm-hmm.
Be good to go. I rock up to my supplementary exam and it's in Bonython Hall.
That's intimidating.
First of all, I've never been in there in my life. So it's like this big scary chapel looking thing.
Mm.
And second of all, the lighting in there is so bad. And I was the only student retaking this exam. So like, all of the factors kind of like don't make you feel very good taking a supplementary exam. So like you're in a darkly lit room, you realize you're the only one that's failed it because you're the only one sitting there taking this paper. So there's no one around you. Like,
so there's other students, but you're all doing different exams?
Yeah. So like there might be three from one class, two, one, like it's just scattered throughout the room.
Oh, wow.
And like there's people sitting next to you like in a regular exam hall, but it's not like you look across and you're like, oh, yeah, like they're doing the same paper as me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not saying like I would cheat in a regular exam, but you can kind of look across and be like, oh, like everyone's writing. Mm. So like everyone's like understanding it. Or like if you look around the room and everyone's like looking at the ceiling, like thinking, you're like, okay, at least I know everyone's finding it hard.
Yeah, totally.
But you're kind of in it by yourself. And then I went to the toilet and I was wearing, it was a boiling hot day. It was the 10th of December. I can tell you that 100%. They took this exam and I was wearing like a little t-shirt and some like tracky shorts. Like I didn't think it was anything bad. I go to the toilet to like, and they check you, like the security checks, like shake your hood, whatever.
Wow.
And they're like, okay, well, I don't need to check you. Clearly there's nothing that you can hide in that outfit. And I was like, excuse me. I was like I was just so thrown off. The whole situation was so bad. Anyway, I walked out of the exam and I felt like, okay.
Yeah, it was like, definitely, I feel like I've got like the 50.
It was touch and go, but I was like, I feel better than I did last time. So
yeah, okay, yeah.
I got 45, 46, whatever I got to qualify for the exam.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like maybe if I feel a bit better, like I've probably
done enough.
Pulled through. I didn't realize that they don't actually tell you if you do, like you don't get a notification like, oh, grades are out. You just don't get any update to your grade.
Oh.
So like say it's a 46 and like you took the exam but you didn't pass the exam, like you didn't do enough, whatever. I thought it would update it and be like, oh, you got 48. Like you got better, you got closer, but like it's not enough. No update, just sits on whatever fail mark you were on. Then I'm like, oh, so I email the teacher, like it's results. I waited the day of results day and the day after because I was like, maybe there's a delay. And I was like, hey, like I just took the supplementary, like my grade hasn't updated. And he was like, if the grade hasn't updated, like it's a fail. And I was like,
oh my God. I love that that you didn't know. That's
so
annoying.
Yeah, I was
annoying.
So clueless.
No, but like that's annoying. Like I would have thought that someone would have told you. Yeah. I wouldn't have, because I definitely wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was the way it works.
Yeah.
Because I think like for some things, like if you fail initially and then you get a pass the next time, then the like highest you can get is like a 50 or something like
that. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. I was like, I'm fully prepared to get a flat 50. Like that's okay. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I didn't get there.
Hmm.
Keep in mind, I was feeling kind of burnt out at this point because
you've been working so much. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it was insane. I've never done it since. But I was like, I thought working the 40 hours would be good, but I was kind of feeling burnt out from doing all of those hours. And my job was placing lots of pressure on me. They were like, you're so good at your job. Like, we keep giving you more hours. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's so hard when it's like, when your priority, like, obviously, like, we all want to do well at our jobs, but like, when your priority is actually uni and like some of those jobs, whether it's retail or hospo, like, they, when they find someone good, they really just want to keep you around and really like yeah, trying to get as much out of you as they can, which, like, yeah. I don't blame them for, but it makes it so hard for you as a uni student, and particularly if you're someone who, like, either likes to achieve or is a bit of a people pleaser.
And, like, yeah, like, I don't want to disappoint. I'm like, yeah. Okay, I'll make it work. I'll make it work. I skipped so many birthdays, like, so many things, because I was like, I just need to work. Like, this is the way it works when you're at uni. Like, if I want to have time to study, I need to be skipping some things.
Mm.
And so then I kind of realized that I'd failed and I was feeling really burnt out. My family had booked to go to Fiji. So I was going to Fiji with my family in that January. And I'm like looking at my options. I'm like, I have to pass this class. Like, I want to be majoring in finance. Looking back, I just shouldn't have majored in finance, but whatever. I'm like, at the time I need to be majoring in finance. So it's not like yeah. I can alter my degree. Like, if I decided I didn't want to do finance, this is a core course. You had to pass it anyway to do commerce. But if I decided, yeah. oh, I'll just do a Bachelor of Business instead, I could have just, like, done something different. But I was yeah. like, no, like, this is a core class for commerce. Like, I have to find a way to pass it. It's running in summer school. I'm going to Fiji for a week and a half, and the summer school is running all through that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, perfect. I emailed the summer school guy. Keep in mind, if a regular class at uni, say, like, the first time I did this class, it was $2,000, it's $4,000 to do it standalone okay, in summer wow. school.
Yeah.
So the hex is just bumped up instantly.
Man.
Anyway, so I did this summer school class and I studied so hard for it. By the fall in Fiji, that was supposed to be my break for the year.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is so sad. Like, just, I had to, like, watch my lectures.
Your laptop next to the pool.
Yeah. Anyway, so I redid it in summer school. I put so much effort into this class. It clearly just wasn't clicking for me because summer school, take a guess, everybody, drum roll. I got a flat 50 in summer school. So praise the Lords. I'm done with this stupid class. I'm out of here. But then the realization dawns on me that the following class, business valuation, I have the semester coming up. So summer school finishes. I did my exam like mid-February and then the next semester starts like a week and a half later.
Mm.
So I was like, right, Olivia, lock your brain into gear. Like, you're doing this class. Anyway, so I sit down in this first day of this class and I'm like, oh my God, everything I've just barely passed is the prerequisites for this course.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at least it's somewhat fresh in your mind because it was summer school.
Yeah. Like, I'd just done it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Three times.
That's hard though as well. Like, I feel like, you didn't get your literal, like, Fiji holiday to be a proper holiday, but you also didn't get the uni break to be a proper break.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were already feeling burnt out at the end of semester two, how were you coming back into, like, semester one the next year having studied?
It honestly,
like,
was really difficult. This yeah. is the first – so going into my third year was the first time I actually felt relaxed going into a semester because the mid-year break, it kind of isn't long enough. And so – I'd finished in mid-November, like we all had the year before, and then you get your results a week and a half later. So I'd had a week and a half that I was feeling somewhat relaxed but still working quite a bit. And then you find out that you've failed and your exam is in like 6 days. Like, it's not like you have a long time. So supplementary was 6 days later. So I took some time off work, studied for it. And then it was on the 10th of December. So then you have a week and a half and it's Christmas, New Year, and then summer school starts mid-January. So, like, your break just, like, is so disjointed, flies by, and then you're in summer school all the way up until the semester starts. Thank God that semester I only had one finance subject and I had three marketing. So, like, that probably did help me, but I put all of my time and effort into passing this follow-up course and I passed it.
Well done.
Praise the Lords. I got a 60, so it was still a pass, but yeah. So happy with that. Are you joking me?
That's like a good improvement though as well. And I feel like that's realistic. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think it would have just been too much of like a movie for you to come back and get like a 90 in that class.
Oh, imagine if I was like, sorry guys, like it's so easy. You fail and you put effort into it and suddenly HD.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But it's just not realistic. So I really had put a lot of time and effort into that class and I was really quite happy to get a 60 because I was like, I've passed. It's not like scraping through. Like, I've well and truly earned the pass on that one. And some of my friends did it in later semesters. My boyfriend just did it earlier this year and I've been like helping them study for their tests and like it really makes so much sense to me, this class. I'm like, wow, look at me go. And then all the rest of the finance subjects I've never failed again.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I think we have to be realistic with ourselves as well at uni because like not every class is going to be our strength.
Yeah,
it's just the way things work. You know, we can't be good at everything. Like, you know, I know that there are some students who can do the whole 7.0 thing, but like, it's just, I think placing that kind of pressure on yourself to do that is just, yeah, like you say, unrealistic.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's not just about the pressure you place on yourself, but it's about understanding like where you actually sit within how that course works. So like for me in marketing, I'm all guns blazing, like no problems. I can like hustle through it. Like I understand it as soon as they explain it to me. Finance, it's just not the case. So
yeah.
I didn't actually do any better than a credit in any finance course. Like while I never failed again, I was like putting the time and effort in and I was getting my assignments back and they would be 70s, 60s, like nothing crazy.
But like, Yeah. And I mean, I think that's it. I think there's also that when you come to uni, the expectation for how your grades are going to like, I guess, almost transfer from things like high school.
Yes.
It's just, it's not the same and it is a different standard here at uni. And I think it's so easy to get down on yourself for like a 60. When a 60, it's a credit. Like,
yeah, exactly.
No, I think that's a pass, isn't it?
60 is a pass, but.
Sorry. But yeah, like 60 is a really good mark. It means you've put the effort in, like you've passed the class.
Yeah.
Like, I think we forget like how much effort you have to do put in to pass a class as well. Like it is a big deal. And I think you should be proud of yourself when you can pass the classes because that is the that's the minimum that they've set and you've exceeded that. And
exactly.
That means that you have actually got enough knowledge for them to be happy to give you the degree, you know? Like it really is a shifting.
People joke like P's get degrees. You actually have to put a lot of effort in like just to get the P.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, walk in the park, like they didn't try, they got P's all throughout their degree. It's like everyone learns differently and like the way that people mark at uni, you just can't compare it to like anything else really.
Exactly. And I think like for you as well, coming from somewhere where you initially did get that 46, like a 60 is a massive improvement. That's like a lot to be proud of as well. I think you always have to like contextualize your achievements as well. Like when I was doing my music course, I struggled through a fair bit of that. And I remember when I got like, I think it was a 75, like I got a distinction for one of my performance exams. And I was just so stoked because I just hadn't been able to hit that mark up until that point.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's all that mattered. It didn't matter that someone else got an 85. That's got nothing to do with me.
And like it is a win for you.
Absolutely.
If I think about getting my marks back for the semester I've just done where I did 4 corporate finance subjects, I got 2 credits and you've never seen me so happy. I was like, oh my God, not only have I passed them all, like they were such hard classes, but I got 2 credits in them. Like, and I'm celebrating getting the credits.
Yeah, exactly. And like after that, you know, experience, how did that change how you approach study from there on at all?
I think it was the wake-up call I needed. So my mindset definitely shifted all throughout the rest of my degree. So in first year, I thought when I first started my degree, I was going to major in marketing and accounting. And then I did the accounting course in semester one and I didn't mind it, but it wasn't as fun as I thought it was in year 12. So I was like, oh, let's not lock ourselves in to do a full degree of accounting. We'll swap and we'll do finance. So I was like, okay, perfect, do finance. That could be something a bit different. I wanted to do something maths and something marketing. So I was like, it was either going to be accounting or finance.
Yep.
And then I feel like the wake-up call of failing really was like, uni, you really do have to lock in. Uni has to be your priority. You have to take some hours off work. And I was still navigating that for my second year. It's really been in the third year that I set those really clear expectations. So I was still in my hospitality job at the beginning of the year before I started working for the uni. And I set those expectations from day one. I was like, uni goes back and I do 2 days a week when it's uni semester.
Yep.
And then I do 3 days a week when it's, and all the shifts are 8 hours. So it is like a full day.
Yeah, that's massive.
And then I was like, when it's uni break, I can do 3 days a week, but I can't commit to these 5 days a week at any point.
No,
like,
no, it's just not going to work.
And I don't have the time in my schedule.
No. And it's like, I think, like also the time for you to recharge is so important too.
Yeah.
Otherwise you can't, you need to have that consistency and you can't maintain that if you're getting burnt out because you're working too much and you're not getting any time to chill out. And like, that's away from study as well. Like that's just
100%.
As important. Yeah. Well, do you have, I guess, any advice for other students who may be sort of, I guess, either in that point of the semester where they're feeling like this isn't going the way I thought it would, or maybe getting those grades back and not being happy with how it's turned out?
I feel like you, in terms of getting the grades back and not being happy, you just can't be too hard on yourself. Like at the end of the day, you probably made the decision that you wanted to make at that point in time. I wanted to work that many hours and I have to live with the consequences of it. And you can't like look back and be like, oh my God, why did I pick to do that? I shouldn't have done that. I could have done so much better. Of course we can say that, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. So
yeah,
you really do just have to take it from the eyes of being, okay, I failed. What are my next steps from here?
Yeah.
I look at my GPA sometimes and my fail drags it down immensely. Like it's ridiculous. And it sometimes is really hard to look at and go, wow, like I really, that's a, like, it's a tough pill to swallow. But at the end of the day, like it's, uni's a journey. And if an employer's not going to hire you because you failed once and it was a good learning experience for you, I feel like it's really, that's just something that you have to live with.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, there will be a job out there that is right for you, and GPA is not everything at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of advice for, to be honest, looking back, this is a bit of a tricky one to talk about because I didn't do this, but I almost would have taken a withdraw fail or a withdraw not fail because mm-hmm. I knew that my semester was going downhill, but I hadn't even considered it. Like, I was studying for my exams and I knew that I was going to be struggling in some of them. And obviously there's, like, the thing in the back of your mind, like, oh, but what if I pass all of them? Like, why would I withdraw out of one of them?
Yeah.
But looking back, I probably would have withdrawn from economics, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I did end up passing, but if I had even known what a withdraw not fail or a withdraw fail was, I probably would have just, like, cut my losses. It's too late. Like, it's week 8. It's still at the point that I could withdraw and not fail, but I should probably just, like, think about it logically and be like, okay, Olivia, like, you're probably not going to do that well in these classes. So it's like, do you want to take the gamble? You might pass, you might not. Or do you just want to be like, I haven't tackled this semester the way I should. And yeah. if I end up adding another 6 months on my degree to redo this class that I haven't given the time it needs,
yeah,
am I going to set myself up better?
And I guess that would also allow you to get the focus on the other subjects that need it as well.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if I would have done this looking back, but knowing now that there even was the option, I definitely would have considered it.
Yeah.
Because I could have taken a withdraw fail or withdraw not fail on one of them. And then it would have been a bit easier to kind of, because we all make mistakes sometimes. Like, we're all
absolutely
doing uni for the first time around when it's a bachelor's degree. We don't know what's coming for us. We don't know what it's like. I got lucky. My first semester, my classes were easy. Like, some of the classes, looking back, like, they are the easiest ones that you do all degree. But I had no idea that that's what I was signing myself up for.
Yeah, so it's so, like, hard to know. I think, yeah, just have to be kind to yourself. And, like, at the end of the day, like, the fact that you failed a class actually means nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't say anything about who you are as a person or about your intelligence or anything like that. It's just, we all have different points at which we struggle with. It's like, do you remember Pilates class? My instructor will often be like, everyone will find a different part of this class hard. You might be smashing abs, but then really struggle with something else. And it's like, that's absolutely the case. And it's the case with life too, and uni.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, no one's going to look at you and be like, oh my God, that's the girl that failed the class.
They don't know.
No one's got any idea. Like, no. Your uni degree is your uni degree. It's your course that you're on. Like, you've made the decisions to get there. You've made all of your choices. If something hasn't gone the way you thought it would, it's for yourself. It's not anyone else's problem or anyone else's place to judge in that sense.
Exactly. And that way you can also learn how to set yourself up for success going forward. Like, now you know that you just can't do that kind of balance anymore. It doesn't work for you. You know, there might be some magic person out there who can manage it, but it's just not for you.
And I'm so grateful that my degree is only 3 years because now I only have 2 months left. Don't get me wrong. I love the uni experience. I love the uni life, and part of me wished that I was staying. But based off how my journey has been with my fail and with the struggle to finish the finance, I am really happy that I've almost made it. And it is going to be, like, kind of bittersweet, but I am going to be a bit happy.
it's a real achievement.
Yeah.
Getting to the end of a degree. Like, absolutely. No matter what that GPA is, it's really.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be really proud of yourself for, like.
And at the end of the day, it's not on your, like, piece of paper when you graduate. It's not like the person sitting next to me has got a 7.0 and mine's, like, a fair bit lower than that. I'm not going to expose myself that much. Guys, come on. But it's not like we're sitting next to each other and the person next to me is going to look down and be like, oh, her GPA is low.
Yeah, exactly.
No one cares. Everyone's sitting there themselves on the day of graduation, happy for themselves that they've graduated.
Exactly. And an employer really isn't going to care.
Exactly.
Not at all. No. If anything, like, those really high GPAs only look good if you have the other things to go with it. But if you've given up your, exactly. Like, great if you can do it, but it's absolutely not necessary.
Uni, you don't go to uni to get a HD. You go to uni to get a degree. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Liv. I know that's probably not, like, the most comfortable thing for a lot of people to share, but I think it's going to do a lot of value. And I think also to see that you've got a job with the university now. You haven't even finished your degree. And, like, you know, you're doing really well. You're working in your field as well, getting all this experience. So it clearly didn't have any major impact actually on your future in the end.
Yeah, like, there is ways around it. Like, yes, my GPA is not fantastic, but you can sell yourself in other ways than a number on a page. So don't sell yourself short, guys.
Well, thank you so much, Liv. And that is all we have time for with our episode. So sad.
So sad.
But thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, follow us on Spotify and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts so that other students can find us too. And you can also head over to Instagram, where you can follow us.
Yes, UOA dot on canvas. I'll be there.
We will put videos up of our episodes as well, so you'll see a bit more of us. You'll see our guests and see everything else that's happening as well.
A little snippet to get you excited for the episodes as well.
And you feel, please do send us a message there. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think about the show, anything you'd love to hear on it. But that is it for us. So we will catch you next week. Well, no, next. We will catch you next fortnight with yes. another episode of Take Note.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take note.
This is a UOA On Campus production.